Chapter 44. I stopped being afraid of Beau Marino a long time ago, Kevin Feeney said. He had been out on a job when Molly had called him. Now he was back at his office. Molly and Sonny were there with him. He'd acted surprised that Troy Drake was dead, but not shocked or disappointed. "Do you think he killed himself?" Feeney said. "Unless somebody put him in the water," Molly said. "Maybe from the bridge." "Wouldn't somebody have seen two people walking on the bridge?" Feeney said.
"Not necessarily," Molly said. "Depending on the time of night."
"What about security cameras?" Feeney said.
"On the bridge? In the process of being replaced, unfortunately," Molly said.
"You think Beau might have had something to do with it?" Feeney said.
"At this point, we're not ruling anything out," Molly said. "We went up to Maine, hoping to talk to him. But he hadn't been in his house for at least a week."
"Here's what I don't understand," Feeney said. "Say it is Beau. Why would he blame me or Troy for what happened with Candace Pennington? He's the one who got us involved. You could make a case that he's the one who tried to ruin our lives, right?"
"We just want you to be aware of the potential threat," Molly said, "to both you and your wife. Is she back yet from Vermont?"
"She goes for 3 weeks every summer," he said. "Her dad passed away last year. It's a chance for her to get some quality time with her mom."
They could hear his phone buzzing. He took it out of his pocket, looked at it, shook his head.
"Shit," he said. "I gotta go back. Somebody unplugged something at the job I just left."
"Just a couple more questions," Molly said.
"Did Troy Drake attempt to reach out to you after Chief Stone brought him in for questioning?"
"He called, actually."
"Do you remember when the call was?" Sonny said.
Feeney frowned.
"The day before yesterday," he said. "Said he wanted to talk, to clear the air once and for all. Said that he'd always felt as bad that he didn't stop me from going along as he was for going along himself."
"What did you say to that?" Molly said.
"I wanted to tell him he was full of shit. But what would have been the point in that?" Feeney said. "But he was full of shit. Troy liked watching Beau do it as much as he liked doing it himself. He liked being there. And Beau told both of us that if we didn't go along, he'd tell everybody that neither one of us could get it up."
Molly thought, for high school boys with raging hormones, a fate worse than death.
"So you went along," she said. "You know what they say, go along to get along."
Neither Molly nor Sonny said anything to that.
Feeney said, "And Troy and I have been paying for it ever since. And maybe Beau, too, if he somehow became capable of taking any responsibility. Now here we all are, still talking about it all this time later."
He blew out some air.
"You pay and pay and pay," he said.
Molly started to speak. Feeney put up a hand to stop her.
"You think I don't see it on your face?" he said,
talking to Molly now.
"You think I don't hear the contempt you still feel for me?" he said. "For all of us? You don't think I see it from people who were around then, every day of my life?"
"But you chose to come back," Molly said.
"Wherever I went, somebody would have found out eventually," he said.
Molly could hear his phone buzzing. He took it out of his pocket and said,
"On my way." "I can't lie to either one of you," Kevin Feeney said when his phone was back in his pocket. "If one of us had to be fished out of the water, I wish it had been Beau."
"You could be in danger, Kevin," Molly said. "If he came for Troy, he might come for you next."
"Don't worry about me," he said. "If I have to, I can go somewhere Beau would never be able to find me."
When they were in the parking lot, Molly said to Sonny, "I've been bitching at Jesse for more than 10 years that none of those kids did real time. But maybe, in the end, they all did."